Maybe it's a wee while since you last read the Bible yourself, I mean, or maybe even heard it read. Just want to give you the opportunity this morning to take a copy of an extract from the Bible. Yours to take and do with as you will. It's God's word, in case you don't know, the means by which God speaks to men and women today. Thank you, my dear. Means by which God speaks to men and women today. It's powerful. It's able to liberate you. It says it has the ability to make you wise, not clever, but to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, Son of God. The golden thread that weaves its way through the entirety of the Bible, and that golden thread is the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son. You have the Old Testament, which tells of foretells of the coming of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, into the world. And of course the New Testament speaks of the fulfillment of all these things, just as it was predicted in the Old. The New authenticates and verifies those prophecies and tells us of the fulfillment of all the things that Jesus came to do and to accomplish. He has accomplished salvation, and that salvation, of course, is what the Bible in its entirety is all about. How that men and women such as yourself and myself, how you can come to know eternal life through Jesus Christ, God's Son, how you can be liberated from the chains of sin and darkness, and how you can be assured one day of a home in heaven. So, an extract from the Bible, Mark's Gospel, offered to you, a good place to begin your Bible reading career. Give you a summary of what the whole Bible is all about. It's offered to you free of charge, without any cost or any obligation to you. You're simply take and read and come to your own conclusions. But who knows, maybe as you read the Bible, or this part of the Bible, that God will speak to you and command the light to shine into your heart and mind and reveal the knowledge of Himself in the face of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible, of course, contains many promises, encouragements to believe, but it also contains warnings. Warnings, of course, are given in grace, in love. I come to you here this afternoon, come to you in love, to make known the love of God to you. But just because a person warns you doesn't mean to say that he doesn't love you, doesn't mean that he hates you. It's not a threat, it's a warning. Truth is declared. Judgment of God is to come upon all flesh. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I warn you of this in love, in order that you might avert such a danger, such a judgment. If someone was heading towards a precipice, and they knew that you were doing so, and did nothing about it, didn't warn you? Would you say that that person loves you? But another person lifts up his voice and cries out to you in warning, imploring you to stop the way that you're going, because you are heading for danger. That, I suggest to you, is the person who loves you. And so I warn you this afternoon in Glasgow that without Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, unless you have bowed the knee to King Jesus, you are in peril, you are in danger. God's Word makes that very, very clear. The Bible is a question that's posed for you. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation? Salvation that God has provided. The Bible does not answer that question, because the answer is logical. You will not escape if you neglect God's salvation. And so I urge you to seriously look into these things. Read and study, meditate upon God's Word yourself. See that these things are indeed so. Salvation, of course, that God has provided for you, the salvation from sin, sin and its final consequences, and only Jesus Christ and no other can save you from such consequence. This is the gospel. This is the truth of God's Word, that Christ Jesus came into the world. What for? To make men religious? No. Make them respectable? No. But to save, to rescue them from a certain and known danger, the one within you, sin in your heart. Christ died for the ungodly. That's the gospel. Christ, the person, Jesus, the Son of God and God the Son. The gospel, the good news about Jesus. It's about a person, not an instituted religion. It's about the person of God's Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Gospel good news is about a person. And of course the gospel, the good news, tells you what that person did. He died. 2,000 years ago, doubtless there were thousands of men who died on Roman crosses. Most of them, I dare say, getting their just deserves because they had broken the law, because they were insurrectionists, murderers, and the like. But there was only one who died on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago, who was God's appointed Savior, who was God's Son, who was dying not because He had done wrong. Even His enemies, even those who perpetrated His crucifixion on trumped up charges, even they had to acknowledge they found no fault in this man. This man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man, He died on that Roman cross 2,000 years ago. He died an atoning death. He died a death for others. He died the death that was due to you. He not only died, He not only gave His life up, but He bore, He took the wrath, He took the full extent of the wrath of God upon Himself on that cross. Hell descended upon the Son of God. All the vomit of your sin and my sin fell upon the Son of God on that cross. He was taking what you deserved. And he died that atoning death for who? For the ungodly. For those who in nature and in practice are unlike God. God, the Bible reveals to us, is holy, is of purer eyes than to behold evil. God, the Bible reveals to us, will not look upon even your righteousnesses because he sees them as filthy rags. He is the thrice holy God. And people, Christ died for ungodly people, those who are the enemies of God, those who live contrary to God's holy law, those who in the nature, in their very natures, are contrary to the nature of God. Bible says that you were conceived, that you were born in sin. Your nature itself must be changed. Not just your practice, not just your deeds, your words and your thoughts, but your very natures must needs be changed. You must be born again, Jesus says. Thank you, my dear. God bless you. Thank you. Your very nature itself needs to be changed. Because you have a sinful nature, you see, that you naturally do think and see sinful things. And unless you're born again, Jesus says, a man cannot see, he cannot perceive, he cannot understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. Sinners by nature, sinners by practice, ungodly to a man, to a woman. That's the natural born state of every man, woman and child born into this world. And as someone has once put it, that unless you are born again, the day will come when you will wish that you had never been born at all. How shall you escape if you neglect this great salvation? Jesus asked a question of some religious men on one occasion. You'll find it in the Bible. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Was his question to him. A very good question. For them, they were beyond the pale. They were those who had Jesus crucified. For them, escape was not possible. But it is for you. But how shall you? How will you escape the damnation of hell? Not if you neglect this great salvation. Not if you ignore it. Not if you reject it. Not if you don't hear it, believe it, and be saved. How shall we escape such a great salvation as this? Well, the truth is you won't, unless that is, you repent and believe the gospel. First recorded words of Jesus in the Bible, repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is near. God is one, the unique God, only one. Not a multitude of gods, as our Mormon friends suggest. Heretics to a man, to a woman. No, people, God is one, only one God, revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what a big question this is. How shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation? Here you are under the wrath of God already. Don't you know that the Bible says that the wrath of God is being revealed against against the ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You see, you know that God is. You know as well as I do that God exists. Every single one of you. God has made it plain to you. God has shown it to you. You may profess to be an atheist, but you're not. You may profess to be an agnostic, but you're not. You know that God is, but you suppress that truth in unrighteousness. You hold it down. You refuse to acknowledge the truth of God's existence. It's simply and only wishful thinking. Because you love your sin, you see. You're in love with your sin. You don't want to let it go. You don't want to turn from it. You don't want to be saved. You rather have your sin. You love the darkness rather than the light. But don't be saying that you're an atheist or you're an agnostic. You're a self-deceived sinner who knows that God is. And no, I will not give you proof for the existence of God. You don't need that. What you need is to raise the white flag in surrender to God, submission to God, trusting in His Son Jesus Christ. Repentance is the way of salvation. But of course, if you misuse the means that God has provided for your salvation, if you don't listen, if you don't hear, and you don't apply yourself diligently to the gospel, to God's provision for you, the salvation, the diligent use of the means that God has provided for you to be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No man gets right with God. No man is justified before God but by me, Jesus says. To justify someone or something is to make that thing or person right. And to justify a person before God is to make them right with God. So there's the question, the most important question. How does a person get right with God? How is a person justified before Almighty God? Well, the gospel is the answer to that question. Christ who died for sinners, just as the Old Testament of the Bible said that He would. Christ rose again from the dead after the third day, just as the Old Testament of the Bible said that He would. Believing that gospel, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But faith, believe me, is a necessity. The Bible says there is no pleasing God without faith. It is by faith that we understand that God framed, that God made the world. God says that He is a rewarder of those who seek after, who diligently seek after Him. You have to seek Him. You have to pursue Him. You have to enter through the narrow gate. And you have to travel down the narrow pathway that leads to eternal life. You have to diligently seek after God. You have to seek Him the same way that you seek after your sinful and your lustful pleasure. You know, some of you, you would travel the Atlantic Ocean to commit adultery. You wouldn't think twice about the cost. All the inconvenience or anything else. Well, with the same attitude of commitment, you must needs seek the Saviour, seek after God through His Son Jesus Christ, and enter through that narrow gate and travel the narrow pathway of obedience to God's law if you are to obtain eternal life. Faith, you see, it all of course must be done in faith, believing, trusting in God through His Son Jesus Christ. Unless you're united to Christ by faith, people, you shall not obtain this salvation. How shall you escape if you neglect this great salvation? No, you won't. Faith, you see, is a primary requirement. Faith is the hand that reaches out and receives the gift. The wages of sin is death, always has been, and always shall be. Spiritual death, separated from God in this life, dead in your trespasses and sins, and of course physical death that will catch up with you, every single one of you, eventually. It's appointed for man to die once, the Bible says. It's a statistic that none in Glasgow this afternoon, I dare say, would argue with. You got an appointment with the doctor, the dentist, an employer, the hairdresser. Well, you can postpone it, you can cancel it, but this is a divine appointment. You won't postpone it. There's a decade, there's a year, there's a month, there's a week, there's an hour, there's a moment when you will breathe your last. It has been appointed to God. He has it marked down on His calendar when you'll breathe your last and you'll go out of this world. It's appointed for man once to die. Why? Young lady asked me the question some months ago, why do people have to die? Well, there's your answer, because they're sinners. You say you're not a sinner, prove it to me, don't die. The only way you'll ever prove to me that you're not a sinner is if you don't die. You will all die, you will all breathe your last, you will all keep that divine appointment, because you're all of you sinners to a man, to a woman. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None has reached the target that God appointed for created humanity. You haven't even reached the target. It's not even a case of missing the bullseye. You haven't even hit the target. All have sinned. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you. And faith, you see, that primary requirement in order to be saved is the hand that reaches out and takes the gift of God's salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, received by faith in Jesus Christ, is eternal life, is salvation. But how shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation? The answer is simple and logical. You will not escape. Without the person and without the work of the Lord Jesus, you cannot be acceptable in God's sight. I mean, what could you possibly offer to God that would be acceptable to Him? Your works, he says, the very best of your deeds, your righteousnesses, he says, are as filthy rags in his sight. He is of purer eyes than to look upon evil. And that's the state and condition of every natural born sinner. Evil of the thoughts and intents of man's heart is only evil continually all the time. So you see, your works, even religious works, I mean, what are they? Man-made religion as opposed to the gospel. Man-made religion on the basis of your works, of what you do. I tell you, there is nothing that you can do to make yourself right, to justify yourself before God. It can only be on the basis of the person, the lovely person of Jesus, and on the basis of his works, what he accomplished, what he has done, that a person can be made right with God. And the works of Jesus, of course, his death for sinners, his atoning sacrifice, his blood sacrifice to wash away your sin, to wash away your sin, his resurrection from the dead. Alone, these alone, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone can justify you and make you acceptable in the sight of God. Received, accepted, of course, again by the hand of faith, you see? And what Jesus did, coming to God, coming to the Almighty, not on the basis of anything in and of yourself. Coming, as the hymn writer says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Only by the way of the cross, the Christ who died for the ungodly, through faith in his name, and that alone is the primary requirement, faith. Without faith it is impossible to please God. How shall we escape if we neglect this salvation? If you neglect faith, if you do not believe, you cannot be saved in Jesus Christ. In order to enter into God's covenant of peace, to be justified and to receive all the justification of God and all the saving benefits that Christ purchased for sinners on the cross, people, you cannot be saved. All of those saving benefits, the peace, you see, peace with God, and the peace of God that the Bible says surpasses all understanding. How can there possibly be peace in your world? How can there possibly be peace in your nation? How can there be peace, I ask you, in your homes and in your hearts, as long as you're at war with God? The sinful mind is hostile to God, at enmity against God. There can never be peace in this world. There will never be an end to war and violence. There will never be an end to the turmoil and the disturbances that you find in all of God's creation. That will never come to an end as long as man is at war with God, hostile to God. So in order for you to enjoy, to experience any of the saving benefits that Christ purchased for sinners on the cross, people, peace with God must first be made. You must surrender, yield yourself to the Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. Believing, faith is the first requirement. So how shall you escape if you neglect this salvation? Well, you shall not, is the logical answer. The joy, Jesus says, that no man can take away from you. You know, it's a joy, you see, that's not based upon circumstances as to whether things are well with you. You've money in the bank, you know, plastic card to use to spend with, alcohol inside you, or drugs, or some other, maybe a sexual experience, human relationship, human happiness, you see, is always based upon your circumstances. Change the circumstances and the happiness evaporates, it goes away. But the joy Jesus gives to a man or woman who submits to Him in faith, this joy can never be taken away from you once it's yours. And it's a joy that comes through knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you're right with God, and that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Peace and joy and hope, of course, hope that doesn't disappoint, a concrete, a sure hope. Again, not the hope of the world, not that hope, you know, that vain hope that something might turn up, something will come round the corner, somebody will come and help you, and maybe you'll win the lottery and that will solve all your problems. No, that will give you more problems, worse ones than you ever knew possible. Now, people, it's a hope that doesn't disappoint. It's a sure, it's an eternal, it's an everlasting hope. It's the hope of heaven. But then, of course, faith, you see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Justified by faith, the Bible says, and by faith alone, only by faith that comes through the grace of God. Grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. There is no other name under heaven, the Bible says, by which a person might be saved. Under the whole canopy of heaven, wherever you come from, whatever your background is, your color, your creed, only one Savior, one name, Jesus Christ, and no other, by which you can be saved. You reject Him, you neglect Him, you neglect His salvation, and you cannot be saved. That's the answer to the question God poses to you this afternoon. How shall you escape if you neglect this salvation? Answer, you won't. But then, of course, another primary necessity in order for you to obtain, to receive this salvation, is that of repentance. The Word of God and Jesus testifies to this. Except you repent, Jesus says, you shall all likewise perish. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's repentance, you see, a change of mind. That's what the word means. It means you change your mind about God, your suppression of the truth about God. It's a change of mind about your own sinful condition and what's required of you, a faith towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's changing your mind, forsaking your thoughts, abandoning your thoughts about God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and of course submitting to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Alienated from God, you see, to a man, to a woman, man's greatest need, I tell you, in any day and generation, is this simply, is to be reconciled to God. Your greatest need, whatever other needs you might have this afternoon here in Glasgow City, you may have an employment need, you may have a medical need, you may have many, many needs, but I tell you, your greatest and deepest need is to be reconciled to God. An end of the alienation. Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ has made peace by the blood of His cross. That reconciliation is a possibility for the person who repents, who changes their mind, who begins to align their thoughts with God's thoughts. In the Bible, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways higher than your ways, says God. It's when a person, you see, turns from their ways, their thinking, turns to God's Word, the Bible, and begins to think God's thoughts after Him. It's doing what God says elsewhere. Come now, He says, and let us reason together. Not your reasoning, God's reasoning. Your reasoning is fallen, you see. Your thinking is altogether wrong. And it's only when you begin to think as God thinks, reason as God reasons, which of course is perfectly reasonable, you know, acknowledging the truth about your sin, about God's salvation and the way of salvation, that is the way of faith, the way of repentance, changing your mind and turning to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But faith, you see, and repentance are both necessary in order to obtain this salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You shall not without repentance and faith towards God's Son, Jesus Christ. For those who are impenitent, for those who refuse to turn, well, the door to God's kingdom, the Bible tells us, makes clear, is closed. Repent or perish, you see, is the ultimatum that God places before you. God, he says in the Bible, why will you die? He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that you should turn, that you should repent, that is, that you should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But then, of course, all of these gifts, and gifts they are, faith and repentance, they are gifts, they are given by God, and they come to a person through the grace of God. And the grace of God, of course, well, He gives it to those whom He pleases to give it to. A person, you see, you yourself can no more believe the gospel. You can no more repent of your sin yourself than you can pull yourself up by your bootlaces. Unless God imparts the grace to you, unless God, you see, by His miraculous, is a supernatural grace, unless He changes your heart, unless he circumcises your heart, unless he makes you a new person by his supernatural power, you'll remain in your sin, you'll die in your sin, and you'll go out of this world in your sin to a lost eternity. God puts the question also to you, can you change the spots on a leopard? And of course the answer is no. You see, that's an impossibility. That's its natural condition. How can you then, who are accustomed to doing evil, who naturally do evil, how can you possibly do good? This is an impossibility with you also. But with God nothing shall be impossible. By God's miraculous, by God's supernatural and saving power, he is able to make a man or woman a new creature in Jesus Christ. Make you, give you a new heart, remove the heart of stone from out of you, and give you a heart of flesh. But then, of course, God just made this miracle possible in sending his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for sinners. You see, it's God's will that you should be saved. His will that the gospel should be declared amongst you. That you hear the gospel and that you believe and be saved. God sends his servants out amongst you to declare this message. How could you know what to believe unless the preacher comes and tells you? And of course, how can he come and tell you if God does not send him? So, you see, the purpose of God is salvation. The gospel tells us that God has not appointed us for wrath, but rather for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Christ, by his blood, made peace. You see, that peace has been made, but by you see, it must be received deliberately, consciously, willingly received. But of course, if you neglect this salvation, if you neglect God's provision, well then, you cannot be saved. How can you escape the wrath to come? How can you avoid the judgment of God which is already upon you? The wrath of God is already being revealed against all your ungodliness and unrighteousness. That's already your state and condition under the wrath of God. It hangs over you like the sword of Damocles, waiting to fall upon you at any given moment, any divine given moment. And if God ushers you out of this world, and he can, believe me, the strongest, the youngest, and the healthiest of you, he can remove you from this earth scene in a nanosecond. But if you fall out of this world in your sin, then the wrath of God in its fullness falls upon you. It is appointed for man to die once, and after this, unknown, black hole, finito, end of story. No, that's not what the Bible says. After this, then comes the judgment. But if you neglect this salvation, you will not escape that judgment. You cannot escape that judgment. So people, how? By calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, shall be saved. Saved from sin's penalty. Saved from the wages of sin. Saved from its full-blown consequences. Saved from its power that holds. ravaging power of sin that destroys your life and will destroy you eternally if you do not repent and believe the gospel. People saved from the presence of sin that fills and permeates your world. People, surely some of you at least must have thought to yourselves in a quieter moment, brothers, surely there must be something better than this sin-cursed world in which I live, with all its violence, with all its turmoil, with all its hatred. And people, the answer is, yes, there is. It's called the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus calls upon you this very day, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is near. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. Salvation, provision has been made. Son of God bled and died on the cross in order that through repentance and faith you might enter the kingdom of God and know the peace and the joy and the hope and the glory of the gospel and the assurance one day of heaven. Let me put it to you in the clearest and simplest terms. One day, each and every one of you, it's inescapable. One day you're going to die. You're going to cough your toes up and go out of this world feet first, the way you come into it naked. But I tell you this, you reject and you neglect the gospel, you face the judgment of Almighty God, you face the damnation of hell. But if you believe, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the authority to become children of God. You will die just like all other men, but you will go to heaven and you will be with God for all eternity. A heavenly mansion or a hellish hovel, which will it be? You choose your own damnation when you reject the gospel, when you neglect the gospel, when you refuse to submit yourself to Almighty God through his Son Jesus Christ. So how shall you escape? How shall you escape if you neglect this great salvation? You will not. How shall you escape the damnation of hell? This is how. You repent and believe the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is God's command to you this afternoon. And the promise is, you shall be saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ that is, shall be saved. Salvation, the love of God in Christ Jesus, is, people, the end for all who repent and believe the gospel. It's all in God's word, in God's book. You would like to have a copy of the Gospel of Mark, read for yourself, see that these things are so, check it out with God's word. Maybe, who knows, as you read it, and I pray for you, maybe God will be favorable to you, smile upon you, command the light to shine into your heart and mind, and reveal the knowledge of himself to you in Jesus Christ. Be assured of this, God will not punish anyone for not believing in a God whom they do not know exists. But he will punish people for not believing in the God whom you know exists. Your place this afternoon, even right now, is to raise the white flag and surrender to God in Christ. Submit to your Maker. Repent. Change your mind. Change your thinking. From your thinking come evil thoughts, Jesus said. Murder, blasphemy, immorality, theft, all the evil and wickedness of the world issues from man's heart. Your heart must be changed. Your mind must be changed. You must repent and you must believe. Repentance is unto faith. Believing, repentantly believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. There is no other. There was no other good enough to pay the price for sin and open heaven's gate and allow sinners and rebels like you and I to enter in. Hallelujah! What a Savior! God sent His Son Jesus into the world that through Him that the world might be saved, that you might be saved from your sinful fallen reason, from your sinful fallen practice, that you might not face the judgment of God, but that you might know God's salvation. It's what the Bible's about from beginning to end, start to finish. God's plan of redemption, salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I commend to you this afternoon, bow the knee, repent, believe, be saved. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word. It's offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. Come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon you.